advantage of an opportunity today. We did our Christmas pageant last week, so if you came here to see that, sorry. But we have Miriam home from Bethel, having completed her first semester there. And John, where'd John go? John in the back there, John. John Mercier just completed, he hasn't completed, but he's halfway through his DTS with Youth with a Mission in Boston. And so we're going to give them an opportunity to share with us. And I've asked Justin, who, for those of you that don't know, has completed 3 years at Bethel, just finished this last spring, and is now with us making all sorts of great joy in our midst and creating a great delight to many of us that he's back and here with us. Paul loves to tell the story that I'd asked Bill Johnson when I saw him at a last fall. I said, one of our young men, he's in his third year with you out there. And, of course, Bill doesn't know all the players by name and face, probably by face, but not so much by name. But anyway, I said, we just want to make sure he comes back. And he says, we'll send him back. Don't worry. And he did. He kept his word, and I appreciate that. he talked to you about it. That's good. That's great. Well, Justin, John, and Miriam, come on down now. Let's welcome them, all right? Amen.
We're going to do this game show style. Do you have your buzzers? I'm just kidding. I don't want to talk very much. I just want to kind of help to guide what's going on. So real quick, both of you just give a quick overview for those of you who don't know what you've been doing for the past amount of time that you've been gone. And, yeah, we'll start with you. Quick.
A quick overview. Oh, my gosh. For those of you who don't know what Bethel is, it's BSSM, Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry in Redding, California. And the reason I really wanted to go was because my brother went, and he was like my best friend growing up. And so seeing how much it changed him, this like stubborn teenage guy, I was like, well, how much more can they do with me? So might as well. an overview. Oh, my gosh. So much has happened to me. God has just been like blasting me with his love and just and just identity, really. Even growing up as a Christian, I mean, I didn't really understand as much as I could have, or just in my heart, what that meant, and really having an identity and knowing who I am as a Christian. And blessings. And so, really, that's as quick as an overview as I can give. Like, identity has just been poured into me, and love and supernatural blessings and just crazy amazing favor, and there's so much that happened that I could share, but that's my quick overview.
Yeah, Shaba. So I was involved with YWAM since I was 13 because of those two amazing people back there, the Weymouths, got me first involved with YWAM. I was at 13. I went with, yes. Thank you, guys. Seriously, just what Miriam has been saying. I've been with YWAM now for 7 years doing the summer camp, and I recently was on Joshua Generation Junior staff. And I guess what that is, that's just like a drama. We do drama and a dance. We go into the city projects, and we'll perform a show. Then we'll use something called the Wordless Book to evangelize. Now, the DTS, Discipleship Training School, was something a kind of that on a much larger scale. It's a full production. It's called Encounter. It'll be a full drama play from the story of creation to the crucifixion. There'll be a medley played during the crucifixion, and then there'll be live worship after it. It'll be an altar call, because before we do our shows, we're doing 50 shows in 20 states, and we'll be inviting people off the street to come into these free shows, free production, and the churches and high schools that will host us, and at the same time, we'll be evangelizing them. And then after the production, we go out and pray for every single person who came to see the show. Now, we just finished the lecture phases, had just a bunch of teachers come. And the first week was like about hearing the voice of the Lord. I've really learned how to just journal what I hear from the Lord. I did that a little bit, but now it's just so much more. So, because then I can look back and really see it. And in my life, just what Miriam has been saying is definitely the identity thing. Just so much more that it's like, even if I'm not this great, you know, music worship leader or have this ministry, even if I'm just the guy in the background, it's okay. It'll still be worth it just being affirmed. And it's enough to just be as a son of God, you know. It's enough. And just, I've also been led to just a place of, I think I've been brought to a place of desperation that after that moment, my walk has become so much more genuine, so much more intimate, so much more real in my life, just to be able to say, you know, God, whatever you have for me. It's easy to say that, but to walk that out, it's harder. And like we say, humble me, God. Oh, humble me, God. Give me humility. But when it happens, it takes everything in me not to well up in anger and rage. You're like, oh, what's going on? But it's just so good. So good.
All right. So I want each of you to share about a time that a situation seemed hopeless and God still brought you out of it, and you got to see God redeem the situation through his grace. So you can think about it for a couple seconds. Now, do you have one? While you're thinking, who knows that to look at your future with hopelessness is to remove God from the equation. Amen. And that faith isn't saying that God can do it, it's saying he will do it. And asking for that gift of faith means saying, all right, God, I don't actually believe that this is going to happen. Please give me the faith to believe. And when he gives us that faith, it's going to make it a lot easier. It's going to give us the grace to walk through it with confidence, knowing who we are in Christ, that he's going to provide for us. that you don't have anything? No situation? Oh, you do have something. Okay.
Do you want to go ahead?
Okay, so just when I was talking about that desperation, that moment of desperation came. I spent 4 hours in the prayer room downstairs going back and forth. Something had happened in the school, and there was going to be a decision whether I was either going to stay at YWAM or I was going to do something else. And that something else was something that I really didn't want to go through in my heart. I was like, God, I don't want to do this. I have such a family here. I have such a love for these people, because you really just grow so close. People just open their hearts when the presence of God and community is there. I'm like, God, I don't want to leave here. I want to be here, God. Like, please, like, give me a second chance. Just my whole DTS and the whole past 7 years has just been a story of he's the God of second chances, if there's second chance and second chance. And it just brought me to that place. I finally was reading verses about mercy and then verses about judgment and then verses about forgiveness and going back and forth and back and forth. And then finally just being able to like come to this place. It felt hopeless because the leader said, it's a 99.9% chance you're not going to stay here. So I was freaking out. I was anxious. I was so worried. I was in the midst of tears like for 3 days straight every day. And eventually got to that point where you could, something we learned called praying to neutral, where they say, Lord, whether you send me here or whether I stay, you're good. I will trust you. I will have that faith. And it just finally just, it brought me to that place of just trusting him.
I'm still here. I'm still there.
That was the end of the story.
Booyah!
1.1.
So I've shared this one before, but it's an amazing testimony. And so the point for me that was like a big faith test was I'm going to Thailand for my mission trip at the end of the year. On November 19th, I needed my $245 deposit. And as of 1 a.m., I had zero in my account. But I was just at this point, I was like, I'd been in this environment, it was just like faith moves mountains. And so I was like, you know what? I know God wants me to go to Thailand. Amen. So he's going to give me the money. And so even though it's 1 a.m. on the day that I need the money, he's going to give it to me. I'm going to have it. And so just like what Justin was saying, and I didn't know why I wasn't worried. I was like, this is probably pretty foolish that I'm not concerned about this at all, because all the testimonies, people were super concerned, and then they got the money. But but I just recently, I was just learning at Bethel how they're like, you know, worry is picturing your future without God, and that's why the devil wants you to worry. That's why he plants those seeds in your mind. And so I was just completely worry-free because I knew that God was in my future. I knew that he was going to provide for me, and I knew that he wanted me to go this place. So I woke up at like 8 a.m. to get ready for school, and I had an email, and I was like, oh, look, God gave me money, my $245. And so I opened up my email, and it said someone had anonymously donated $500 to my account. So I was like, well, that's awesome. So, like, he doubled it, and so, like, double blessing, just knowing that God's going to provide, knowing that he's a good dad, and that he just loves you regardless. He loves you right where you are is, like, huge. And so, yes.
Good. Very good.
Talk about worry again.
That's what I've been. Worry is picturing your future without God, and so that's why. Just, yeah. So. Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, Satan. He'll put that in your mind. He'll say you need to worry about this, and then you'll be able to fix it. But you know, to be able to give it to God is harder. But it's actually the right way to do it. It's, you know, God, you're in control. You know, you let me choose, but you're sovereign. He's sovereign over what's going to happen, and he gives us choices to make. But ultimately, he's going to get us where we need to go. So share about a way that God has pulled you out of your comfort zone, whether it's in ministry, relationship, intimacy with him. Maybe it's a place where you felt comfortable and you felt God calling you to take the next step out to where you're uncomfortable, but you did it, and what happened as a result? Just close your eyes. We don't want people looking at them. A lot of pressure. You have one?
So I'm a bit of an extrovert. You probably can't tell from my family. So I know the people laughing know my family. They're all super loud extroverts. But they're awesome. They're super loud. Oh my goodness. So I'm one of those extroverts that loves being around people, and that's where I get my energy. And it was up to a point where I hated being by myself. And like it would be like, I'd be like, well, I need to be by myself for my quiet time. But then it'd be like 2 minutes later, and I'm like, I need to be around people, like any people, like any person. And so that's been a real place of testing for me. After Father's Heart Week, where I got a big breakthrough with getting to know Father God more intimately, I've been having these times alone with him where I'm just like feeling so recharged, and I look forward to that alone time with him and just spending quality time with him and getting to know my dad's heart and just listening to what he thinks about me and listening to him just give me a download of his love. And so we had Encounter Day a couple days ago where they just send you out into the city of Reading and they're like, go find God for like 5 hours, which is awesome. And so I was a little bit dreading it because I was like, what if I don't find God? But so I went to this this park that was like dead, but it was like I was seeing. Even these dead bushes were like beautiful because of just like the spirit that was filling me, and the time that I was spending with my dad was just like, it was amazing. I was like so pumped up, and I had like core groups later, and I was like so ready to just like share my heart with people and love on people because of the way that God has just been pouring into me. And so that's been a place of real stretching and testing, being by myself with God and enjoying that. Wow. So.
How do you top that now? Just kidding. Yeah, there you go. Ballin'. We had a teaching about just giving There was a teaching about giving and what really made me step out of my comfort zone. I'm just going to read you 4 points that we learned from the teaching. I think the starting verse was like Luke 19:12-13. It was through giving extravagantly with what you've been given, persevering through much suffering, giving everything you have, faithfulness in the small and secret, and giving everything when you have nothing. There was a parable when a rich man gave a tithe and he gave all this gold and jewelry, but there was also this pauper woman that gave like 2 copper pieces, and her tithe was more precious in the eyes of the Lord than the rich man's who had all this. So what we learned as very poor YWAMers we are, I ended up giving away all my instruments, which are the most valued thing, and also my most precious instrument, which was my guitar that my father gave to me for my birthday, and that had a lot of sentimental value because my mother also gave it to him as an anniversary present, so it had a lot of sentimental value. And when we had that giving thing, that was like the first thing that went into my mind. I was like, oh no, that's not God. There's no way that's not God. Oh God, let me give away my mandolin. Let me give away this. Just not the guitar. Cause I love that. And you know, of course my parents are like, John, like what are you doing? It's like, you can't take anything else up there cause you're going to give it away. And I'm just like, it just really pulled me out of my comfort zone, just not holding on to anything and saying, God, you know, even if I never play another instrument. Also, we had fasting where I was fasting, even singing or beatboxing, or I'm always making noises. I'm just really weird like that. And just I'd be like, I'd make a noise, be like, oh God, I'm fasting that. It's just, it was so hard. It was so uncomfortable because I sing all the time. I love it. It's my passion. And you know, God was just calling, because it's easy to fast food. When we talk about fasting, it's like, oh, just not eat. But it's like, it's hard to fast something that you do constantly all the time, even more than eating. I probably sing more than I eat. So yeah, that was something that got me out of my comfort zone. I just experienced just so much freedom, so much that nothing's holding me back, that, you know, I don't need these comforts. I don't need to have these certain things that God's going to provide. It's like, so many times it was crazy. People would give away something, give away a laptop, $2,000 laptop, and then they would get an iPad, or they would give away a $2,500 camera. And then eventually God said, oh, they give it back to them. It's just like really learning that when we give, God gives it back tenfold. You know, he gives it back so much more. You know, just like when Miriam gave God her worry at all, to not worry at all, he gave her twice as much like as she needed, you know. So, yeah, freedom.
That's good. Thank you, Jesus.
So talk a little bit about either something that you're going, your current process with God, whether it's how you're ministering to others, ministering to him, how he's ministering to you, or maybe share something that you're looking forward to pursuing, something you're going to be intentional about making sure that you grow in this next season as you go back. Unless you've already maxed out growth.
I have arrived.
He has arrived. Somewhere. He's arrived somewhere. Not going to say where. What's something that you want to be intentional about pursuing? That you're about to go back in a couple weeks, both of you. And so what is it that you're going to be intentional about pursuing that maybe you haven't gotten yet or you've been looking forward to getting? Whether that's being intentional in your prayer time or intentional with the way that you interact with others. Is there something that you see you need more of in your life, and you're wanting to intentionally pursue that and make that the forefront? You have something? All right, John.
I guess something that's been working on me, my prayer has been, God, give me the humility to be able to receive correction and discipline. I remember a really humbling moment was when the youngest student in our DTS, she came up to me and said, I don't think you're pulling your part in your work duties, and everything in me wanted to rise up and rage up and say, who do you think you are, this or that, is like, you know, and stuff like that. But I really was able to receive that that humbling. So I'm really looking forward to being able to receive correction, receive respect, receive just discipline with a humble heart. And also I'm excited to step into just really when I hear from the voice of the Lord to evangelize, I'll act upon it. I've been seeing more and more of those things happening because my heart really is, I guess this quote, one of my favorite quotes is like, some people would like to live in earshot of a church bell, but I'd rather, you know, run a rescue mission and 3 feet from the gates of hell. And that's what we've been doing. Even when we went out evangelizing, there was a witch that actually accepted Jesus Christ into his heart and accepted forgiveness. So we're going into the enemy strongholds and we're pulling people out of the mouth of hell. So I really want to be able to step into that and say, God, I'm not just going to let this person walk by. I'm going to say, if I receive a word of knowledge that they should, you know, spray paint their hair purple, I'm going to say that, you know, even no matter how outrageous. So I want that faith and that trust to really be there, to believe in those words and believe in what God wants to do.
That's so good. That's awesome. For me, it's just now that I'm in this place where I'm comfortable being with God, just being able to cultivate that intimate place with him, and just on a much deeper level. And a lot of prophecies that have been given me about my ministry being able to love on people and being a safe place for people to come to and just like bare their hearts. And that has been like so put on my heart, just to be able to love people as Christ does and just see the gold in them, just dig through all that dirt and just pull out their gold and just be like, this is who God says you are, and just like break their heart for him and make them. I just want to be like a place that God's presence rests so much on that people are like drawn to me and crave him because of how much he rests on me. That is like one of my ultimate goals, like just knowing him so deeply that his presence is just always there, that Holy Spirit is just always with me, and that at the drop of a hat, I'm just going to be able to minister to someone and be like, this is what God thinks of you, and this is how much he loves you. This is how much I love you because you're my brother or sister in Christ. And so just being able to cultivate like that relationship with like Daddy God is like my ultimate, like if that's what I get out of first year, I will be happy with that. So
come on. That's good.
So talked about comfort zones and how it's good to step out of them. We're not called to live in a comfortable Christianity. So while I'm sharing this next thing I want to talk about, I have you both just start getting words of knowledge for people and we'll start calling people out, all right? So there's that uncomfortableness rose up in the room. A lot over here. A little bit over here, but a lot over here. And So while you guys are praying to Holy Spirit, he may have already given you something. He probably has. one of the scariest prayers you can pray is, God, help me get better at this. Because, you know, there's a famous line in Evan Almighty where the wife is in the place eating chicken tenders with her family, and she's left her husband because he's crazy. And she'd been praying the whole movie that God would make them a stronger family. And Morgan Freeman comes in, who's playing God in the movie, and he sits down, and he's the waiter, but he's God at the same time. And so she's sitting there, and he says, you know, if someone prays to be a stronger family, do you think God just makes them stronger, or gives them opportunities to be stronger? He gives them opportunities where they can work on that strength. So you know, praying, God, make help me to be better at receiving correction. That looks like you're going to get corrected a lot. And it's true. I'll prepare you. And it's going to be your response to that. And then for you, it's going to be that place of, you know, wanting to get deeper with God, where he's going to start saying, all right, spend more time with me. It's going to look like you sacrificing time in other areas. So I just want to prepare you both and just bless you that, you know, those are powerful prayers, and then that things are going to shift because of that. So do you have anything for anyone in the audience? You're looking at me. But or even just a word in general, or just something else you want to share, but I do want to try and get some words of knowledge out, yeah, some prophecy.
First name that kind of popped in my head when he said that was Garrett, and I just felt that the Lord that was saying just to affirm your direction that like God has you, and it was something like God has you in his hands, and that your direction and like your the choice that you're going to do. I feel like he wanted to also he was going to replace any sort of thing of doubt that you might have, and just replace it with just his trust and his faith. I just felt that God was saying that he's going to direct your path, and he's going to affirm that in you, and these things, yeah. So, yeah.
I got a word for Miss Melissa. I just feel like God has really given you this tender heart for kind of like Miss Pam, for youth, just to come back to really seek after God and to really know him, because that's my heart too. My generation is so lost, and they don't really care about seeking after the things of God because they don't really know what he has to offer them. And I saw a picture of a tiger, and I feel like God has given you this fierceness, but in a way that he's just given you this power to speak into people's lives, especially youth. And he wants you to know how much power and how much weight your words have. And I just want to bless that in you. And just want to tell you that, you know, your call isn't over, and that God still wants you to speak into people's lives, and he still wants you in the ministry. He still wants you to be ministering to people, because of the gifts and things that he's given you are so great, and people need that, because God has given each person a piece of his heart, and when we don't show that, we don't show our true selves, then we're missing out on that piece of God's heart. And so he still wants you to minister the piece of his heart that he gave you to other people. So.
I have a general word for just everyone in here. I just feel a lot of, I just keep hearing this word. It's either my time is past or my time has not yet come. And I just want to say that your time is right now. If you're hearing that in your head, your time is now. Your time isn't over, and your time isn't coming in the future. You're called to live in the here and now, and you're called to walk in signs and wonders. You're called to nothing disqualifies you. You're either your youth or your opposite of youth. It does not disqualify you. And you can claim whatever you want. You can claim either side, any of that spectrum. But, you know, some of us are young in Christianity. But we're older in our age, and some of us are older in Christianity. But I mean, it's just there's nothing stopping you. There's nothing you have to do or learn first before you can step out. That God he's waiting for you to say yes. He's been waiting for you to say yes. And as soon as you say, you know, I want people to encounter Jesus through me. Everyone here is called to be a walking encounter with Jesus. When people encounter you, they encounter the love of Jesus. They encounter the acceptance of Jesus. And through that, people are going to be saved. It's not going to be through an amazing sermon. It's going to be through love. It's going to be through experiencing the real, unconditional, powerful love of Jesus. It's through casting out fear in people's lives, because that's what love, perfect love, does. So I just want to release that. Just receive it, if that's where you're at, that in the name of Jesus, that your time isn't over and your time isn't far off in the distance, but that right here, right now, you can begin to walk in what you believe is your calling, what your anointing in Christianity, in Christ, and that you would receive that right now and just say yes to the Holy Spirit right now. We say yes to you, Holy Spirit. We say yes, Holy Spirit. Come fill us now. Break down our walls. Break down our the lies that we're believing. Fill us with truth. Fill us with love. Thank you, Father. Do you have anything else? Yeah. Yeah, let's praise Him. Let's praise God. Give another one? Give another one?
Yeah, I got more down.
I just got more of a download for Garrett, too. I felt like I saw you just clothed in the armor of God, and I felt like the Lord is sending you out into darker genres, like just to be a source of peace and maybe a darker sort of genre. I know you're into some music and stuff. I feel like God is just wants to send you into darker places, just clothed in the armor of God and His splendor. And I saw your face just radiant with light. I saw just light just gleaming out from your face, and just to say that there's a gentle and quiet spirit in you that is just of great value to the Lord, that a lot of people overlook, but like the Lord sees that. He sees like meekness. There's this meekness that is about you that the Lord just takes so much delight in. I feel that, and he wants you to say that's your greatest weapon. When the enemy comes against you with any sort of thing, any worry, any doubt, or anything, just to say that the Lord takes delight in me is the greatest thing of all. That's the most hated thing Satan hates to hear, is that the Lord takes delight in you. He takes delight in your heart as a son of God, that you have that you are adopted as a son of God, that Lord is just feeling that, replacing that doubt, that you are where He wants you to be. You don't need to, there's nothing like a striving spirit or anything, that there's just a rest and a peace that the Lord wants to administer to you.
Just to bounce off of that, in those same verses about the armor of God, it says, now doing all that we can to stand. And we put all this, we do all these things, then it says, is there something else I need to do? No, just stand. Just stand in what you know is true and believe, no matter what your circumstance says, believe the truth. I just want to just encourage you with that as well. The gentleman in the black V-neck with the short haircut, yeah. I don't know you. I just heard the word bear, and I just feel like you have this this strength about you that that is just, you know, overcoming. It's just I just picture this grizzly bear, and how, you know, that's, you don't want to meet a grizzly bear. And I just, you have this strength in you that you're meant to be lending out to other people who don't have strength. But I also see that inside of you, there's the spirit of sensitivity, and there's a spirit of love inside of you, and that you're not only are you a defender, you're a lover, and you defend the weak, and you love those who haven't been loved well, and I see that, yeah, you're going to be redeeming what love looks like in people's lives, because they've only been given dysfunctional love in the past, and you're going to bring the love of Christ into their life, and you're going to be a stronghold, and you're going to show them what real love looks like. So I just encourage you, when you feel like there's someone in your life, you see someone who you don't feel like is doing well, isn't receiving love, to go out and to minister, because it's something that you carry really strongly in your life. So I just encourage you with that. And then Miriam asked me to pick someone out for her to prophesy over. So I'm going to do that. oh, let's see. Miss Wes. Michelle. Next to me.
I just immediately heard you're very creative and artistic. I don't know if that's in actual art or if it's in the way that you minister to people. But that's a huge gifting on your life. That's what I'm feeling like. And just the way that you minister and the way that you are creative, whether it's in, I don't know if you dance or not, but I just saw you dancing with like flags that were like these amazing colors and artistic patterns. And even not many people think that this is a way of ministry, but this is like, I feel like it's some kind of healing ministry, that it's just like the way that you dance just start, people began to weep and began to be healed by just watching you display your love for your Creator and display the way that you you know Him very well and you carry His presence very well. And people see that when you demonstrate the gift of creativity and the gift of being artistic that He's given you.
That's good. Okay. Yeah, one more.
I just had real quick something for John. I felt like the Lord was saying that He is placing the rhythms of His heart, the rhythms of His heartbeat are going to be played by your hands, and that your drum playing is an intercessory form of making war against the principalities, and that the drums that you play, I just saw these tribal like African sort of like drum beats, but they're for the kingdom of God, and they're these things that are just breaking down strongholds, that people have freedom and they break out and start to dance upon injustice by the heartbeat of God that you are playing. So I just really felt that, and I bless you and take that. I also felt something for finances too. I think just financial blessing or something like that. I don't know. Something, just heard finances, but yeah, bless you.
Yeah, yes, come on, yeah, praise Him. I saw a picture while you were saying, real quick, we'll wrap it up with this. I saw a picture of every time you'd hit it, there'd be a shockwave that would go out and it would push darkness back. And it's just that when you do, and when you sit in that seat, but I feel like it's more than just a seat for drums, I feel like it's your seat as a husband, as a man, as a son of God. When you sit in that seat, darkness gets pushed back. And when you stand in truth, it gets pushed back, and it can't come any closer. So just to bless you with that. So we're going to be having a that was awesome. Let's thank these guys for sharing. We're going to be hopefully doing a bake sale next week to help them because, of course, YWAM Youth without any money. And Bethel as well. They both need money. So we're doing a bake sale next week. And, of course, if any of you want to contribute, you can write a personal check to – not a personal check. Write a church AAA, and then in the memo section write John YWAM. Did I say AAA? I work at AAA, and I say that all day. So not AAA. No, wrong. Whew. They love me right now. They love me. AAA. New Heritage Church. Wow. And in the memo section, John YWAM or Bethel Miriam, something to that. We could write angelic assistance and things like that. So, and then, of course, if you want prayer and ministry at the end of the service, you feel like you need a word from God, they're both available. I've just made them available. He'll just pray with you and bless you, and to just give you word from God, because He has a word for all of you. It may not be from one of them here today, but He has a word that He wants all of you to get. I don't know if it's going to be here and today and by one of them, but there's a word He wants to release to you, everyone, for your current situation. So we're good here. Mr. Bob had a testimony he wanted to share.
Well, I think it applied to something.
It applied to something else. Okay, never mind. Pastor Rain, we'll give it back to you, and once again, bless these guys, and thank you. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, y'all don't have to leave up here. You can stay up here. Yeah, we are gonna have some time of ministry, and Justin, you can't get away so quick either. Yeah. You're not going anywhere. That's good. That's good. Pardon me? Yeah. Let me just, we have a few minutes here, literally. Does anybody have any questions for them? Let me just ask you that while we have a chance here. Anybody have any questions?
How many different cities are you going to in Thailand?
Question was how many different cities in Thailand?
I know I'm going to Mae Sot. I don't know from there if we're going to be traveling. We probably will be, but we're going to be stationed.
We're going to start in an orphanage. And that's our base, and then we're gonna go out to like the sex trafficking areas, and so.
Come on.
Any other questions? Do you have any questions? Yes, Chris, comment.
I've
asking that they get their itinerary to us so we can get it out to you all, so we can be praying for them as they go to Thailand and up. You're going to be primarily the East Coast?
Yeah, East Coast.
East Coast, so primarily up and down the East Coast. Okay. Yeah. Will you be in Baltimore?
Yeah.
But at Matt's church? At
yeah, possibly.
Church at Baltimore?
Okay.
Well, you know, they did it here before. I know you need a big, higher ceiling, but they made it work before, so keep this in mind, okay? All right. Melissa, yes?
While you folks were speaking, I guess. Yeah, just to piggyback on that, while you guys are speaking, I'm hearing a very familiar verse, Jeremiah 29:11. And when we hear that, we usually hear it for ourselves, you know, at least we want to believe it for ourselves. You know, I know the plans I have for you to give. Plans not for evil but for good, to give you a future and a hope. But as I heard that, I felt like the Holy Spirit saying, it's for us corporately because of them. You know, God knows the plans he has for us as New Heritage Community. Plans for good, not for evil, to give us a future and a hope. They're our future and our hope. And it's awesome. It's awesome. So, yeah. Yeah, why don't we stretch our hands this way towards them, bless them. Some of you may get prophetic words for them. You can share it with them after the service. That'd be cool. So Spirit of God, would just bless them with your presence, your power, your grace, your goodness, your mercy, your majesty.
Luke, I'm looking at you, and it just, when I look at you, I just love you. You're just a beautiful, beautiful young man. But your name in the Bible, the book in the Bible, Luke, is the one that embodies the whole Jesus coming as a baby, the humbleness. And I just see you as your heart as a place where people will want to gravitate to you because of your peace. There's a peace about you, and there's a welcoming spirit and a humbleness that you just embody, humbleness. And the Lord, and also Luke was a doctor, a physician, and it's a place where people can come and be healed of not just physical things, but that just because of the humbleness and your love and the way that you embody Jesus Christ.
Isaiah 42, verse 3. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench, and he will bring forth justice and truth. He will not fail or become weak, or be crushed and discouraged, till he has established justice in the earth. As young men and women, the ones who are closest to the captain of hosts will experience the darts of the enemy. It pleased the Father to bruise the Son, and he will take each of you through that same experience. But your valleys will become mountaintops, and your mountaintop will be the same as a valley, so you'll stand in even places.
As Rick was praying, I saw this rushing river just pouring out over all of you. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. Keep every single one of these very talented and gifted young people in the flow of your river and lead them and guide them exactly where you would have them to go, doing your work, so, Lord, from this day forevermore.
As soon as I reached my hand out to pray over you, I heard West Side Story. And I've been asking the Lord, and there's the first thing that came to me was that you're going to be unifiers. And I think there may be more to this, in that we're on the west side, and there's going to be a story to tell here of what God has done through your unifying.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
I actually also got a word for Luke. I saw a picture of a flamingo. Which is kind of weird, but I mean your shirt, but no. I saw it like how they stand in the water, and then they, like as a flock, they fly off. I just saw you, like, I felt like in this place you've just been standing, and God has something really big prepared for you. He has a lot in store for you. You have an absolutely incredible destiny. Oh, my goodness. But you have to take that step from standing in the water to flying off. And so that's what I got for you.
Yeah. Justin, this is specifically for you. This is your calling. I don't really know who's kind of the oldest one out of all you guys. I know some of you, but not all of you. But I feel like what you did earlier with, like, interviewing them and stuff and the calling that God bringing you back here, this is your calling right here at home and with your people. I feel like you're, like, the leader. Like, that's what God's giving me, that you're the leader and this is what this is for you. Okay? So, that's true.
Come on. Oh, man. It's good.
I heard before when I was driving was tsunami. And with what Allison said, it says in that song, did you hear the mountains tremble? It said when all the rivers come into one river, and when that tsunami comes, it's going to take us up in such a wave. And the lost will, they won't be able to escape the wave of God's love. And I felt like the Lord also said that this is a new structure, a new wineskin that God is bringing through you that's going to be relational, where people are going to experience the love of God, and we're going to be able to take that new wine, and it's going to be poured out. So, Lord, I pray right now, if you guys, we just want to pray over them. Lord, we just pray, God, that you would bring this new structure so that we can receive the new wine, God, the new wave of your glory, God. And Lord, that together, God, that there would be no generation gap, Lord. That together, that this tsunami, Lord God, that we're going to back you guys up in bringing forth this tsunami, God. Lord God, that the loss will come, that the Father's house, as Fred has always preached, will be built so that the prodigals will come running home, God. Lord, we're believing you for that, God. We're believing for those who have been disillusioned, God, because they have not experienced the real thing. But Lord God, this is like, I just like Coca-Cola. This is the real thing. You guys are the real thing. And we don't want the false things, God. We want the real. And this generation can sense it, God. But when they sense it in you, they're going to come running home. And we thank you, Jesus. And I feel like for this church, we've come down. God is like stripping us, but we're about to come through an incredible growth spurt where people are going to be coming to just come to this church, the anointed, because there's going to be healing, waves of healing, and people are going to experience the Father's love, our dad's love. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I was standing in the back, and the only thing that was coming to mind was new structure, and then Pam used exactly those two words in there, new structure. The sense that I had was this. There are the old and the not so old and the whatever, I don't know how that works. I have this thing that I use that growing in age, it just comes. You can't stop it. Growing up, that's optional, you know. So in other words, I can be old, but I can be young at heart. And the sense that I had was that the old me is used to something that I've had for, you know, these many years. But the new me, and when I think the new me, I think the new us, is going to be something that is very different than the old us. Okay, and some of the old us are going to be fine with it, and some may not be fine with it. But the new us is here and is beginning to take their place, and the old us need to embrace and encourage and exhort, correct and teach, and all the things that God has deposited in the older generation is now being released, I think, in the younger generation, and something new is going to happen as a result of that. So, amen.
Yeah, this isn't just for you. It's really for New Heritage. A couple weeks back when the women were given their testimonies from the retreat, and I said that when we were praying right before the retreat, that I felt like there was a shift coming here for New Heritage. Then 2 weeks ago, you said something about having a dream, and that in your dream, and it was the night before it snowed here, and in his dream, he was saying, good morning, and nobody was paying attention. Good morning. Nobody was paying attention. He said, good morning. And then when he said, it's snowing, everyone, whoa! And he said if anybody had an interpretation of that, to let him know. And I said, well, good morning. Morning is something new. It's a new day. And I think prophetically in his dream, he was speaking out that for New Heritage, for you, here it is. It's good and it's new. And then it's snowing, because that didn't catch your attention right away, but when he said it's snowing, snow is a sign of great favor and grace and purity. And so as he said that, everybody went, whoa, because I feel that for New Heritage, this is a new day. This is going to be a lot of favor that New Heritage will be receiving, all of you will receive, and grace. And let's see, there was something else. Oh, the change, the shifting in the seating here. I just really feel like this is a prophetic act as well. There is a shift in our direction. There's a shift in the way, yes, we're, of course, towards the east, but also we're all facing in the same direction now. You know, it was, we were facing this way, we were facing this way. Now we've come together and we're facing the same direction, and that there's just more of a unity here. So I think this whole thing is very prophetic.
Amen. Good work. Thank you. Yes.
I have a prayer for Justin, so. You know the children's song, heart, heart, give my heart to Jesus. That God is saying, Justin, as you give your heart to Jesus, he's giving you his heart for this church and what he's going to do in this area, Father. So we agree and we bless Justin's heart to be your heart, Father. May he look at these dear saints and may he see them with your heart, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. May the love of Christ compel him towards each one that you are going to minister to, that you're going to build up and you're going to love, strengthen, and equip through how you have prepared Justin, God. So we bless him. We bless this heart in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Hi, I just have a couple sentences I'd like to share. You guys, there is such an amazing anointing and calling and gifting over each one of your lives, but I also want to say to everyone here, there's also an amazing calling and anointing and gifting in each one of your lives, and this group needs us as mothers and fathers to partner with them, to lock arms with them, to run with them, to do life together with them. And I just feel like as we come together, like I really don't like violent movies, but that movie 300, where everyone had the shields. So as we partner with them, as we stand with them, and everyone has the shields up together, it's like nothing can come in and get any of us. So I just feel this coming together, this family thing is huge. And Pastor Bill says, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven flows from family. Revival flows out of family. So it's just such a heart's cry just to join arms together and lock arms together with them. So I bless you guys.
Amen. That's good. Thank you. Paul.
Yeah, I just want to say, when I saw Michelle get up here, I had to get up here behind her. She's goes to Bethel Church in Redding, California, and kind of this whole thing with our family started like 4 or 5 days before Justin left for first year, and she happened to be here. She is from this area, but moved to Redding, California, and was in Pam's wedding, I think, and we got together double T, and Justin didn't have any idea what he was getting himself into. In fact, 2 weeks into it, he wanted to leave, and 3 weeks into it, he was toasted. And you don't know what that means, talk to me later. And so I just feel like it's prophetic that, Michelle, you just happened to be here this week, because this day is kind of a culmination of what happened with us as a family, with Justin going for 3 years and now Miriam going for her first year, and what is also happening in this church. So, Papa, we thank you for what you're saying and what you're doing, and we just see it as a prophetic act that you sent our sister here this morning. And we want to see what the Father's doing, and we want to attend to it. Thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Is this okay? All right. Last but not least, I don't know. Anybody else want to run up here? Okay, I got three things I have to release. Some of it is confirming, which is one of the things the Lord wants us to do. If you hear a word and you got the word, that's the power of confirmation in the room, and you should release it. So I need to release a couple things. One was, while I was looking at this group, love you all. I'm in there with you, Melissa. Aren't they wonderful? We love these precious ones. I was looking at you, but at the same time, the Lord told me to look into the unseen, and he made me aware of the angelic that are standing behind each one of you, that each of you have an angel that is assigned to you, and it's to affirm that reality in you. We want you to know how much heaven is behind you and with you, and this whole unseen realm is being unleashed in our midst increasingly. So it is for you, it is with you. This army of heaven is with you. As you are called the army of heaven is with you. So, yes. So the angels are coming to partner with you as you go boldly. They're going to be released more, and we're going to see this heavenly activity because the angelic activity is increasing. That was the first thing. The second one, I want to confirm Susie's word. I'm sitting here, and the Lord said about the seating, and the way he was telling me was that it is as if, thank you, Bob, where are you? It is as if I saw it as we got onto an airplane and we took our seats. It's as if this is like the setup of the new jet that we're on that's going to rise and climb and soar with the Lord. So it's about that. It's about shifting and taking, all of us taking a new seat in this next season, in the new thing, and all of us getting out of our comfort zones just to take a new seat. So maybe keep switching seats or something. But I see this also as a prophetic picture, but I saw it as this jetliner that the Lord is going to take us all on this ride that's coming. And the third thing. Let me forget the third. Okay, third thing. I'm dovetailing on Ellen's word, releasing a song. While you were singing your song from the children's song, this also connects with Allison. I started hearing the West Side Story song. Do you know that the two lovers sing to one another? Make of our hearts one heart. Make of our hands one hand. It's in that. So part of the story is it is for Justin, but it's also the Lord is singing this song over us to create this next story. He's going to make of our hearts with his one heart in the next thing. So I think that's it.
Awesome. Okay, last one.
As I was sitting back there and watching, and obviously just, well, I saw the fulfillment of something that the Lord started with the Holy Spirit teaching mission, with Randy's side, and with the college, with Fred's side. The older, there's that coming together of generations here. And that's been the heart of the Lord from the very beginning of who we are as New Heritage. It began with a younger generation with Fred at UMBC. It began with Bob Mumford and Derek Prince and those guys with the Holy Spirit teaching mission that came into Washington, D.C., and out of which that side, our side of this gathering, was born, the generations. Thank you.
Thank you.
At the risk of overly confirming, I just want to say two things. With both what Karen and Susie said, as Fred, Bob, and I were together praying on Friday, in anticipation of the change, not only in this room, but you all need to go down the hall and see the difference in the room down there that we use for our Sunday school classes. We felt the Lord was saying to us that, you know, first comes the natural, then the spiritual, and that even as this natural change is occurring, that God was going to bring a spiritual change in our midst in this year, 2014. So that's been confirmed today, and in ways that I can't say it because I'm not that poetic, but that's beautiful. And also, the Rick prayed first about the ring of fire, and then Pam talked about the tsunami. Well, Indonesia sits on the ring of fire. It was the ring of fire that caused the tsunami. Whoa. So just as that happened in the natural, Lord, we believe that's going to happen in the spiritual. Yes, let the ring of fire come. Let it bring that tsunami, we pray. Let it come. Let it come, Lord. Yes. 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 Amen. Well, Fred's going to close us with a benediction here, and then